You got to get that song. That's a good song. I've been preparing sermons the last several weeks with that song. And that came back from our student camp this past summer. Today we're going to be kicking off a new series called Get Fit. So every Sunday when we come in here, we're going to do about a 15-minute boot camp. So you need to come with your workout suit on a weekly basis for the next 6 weeks. So that would be great. Just kidding. But we are going to talk about a healthy approach to life, a healthy approach to career, a healthy approach to family. And I think that working out is a great place to mirror, a great analogy to mirror what we're trying to get across. A quick aside, for those of you that are walking around that are might be guests at our church and you see kind of Batman and Superman wandering around, Spider-Man in kind of larger-than-life costumes. Today is our Superhero Sunday up in our kid zone, and they're doing a whole series based on superheroes, so hence why I'm wearing a Superman shirt, not my normal Sunday morning attire. And so we're supporting our kids, and they're going to be having a great time learning different lessons that they can relate to. So I love the creativity at our church. And so we have a new backdrop right now called Get Fit. And today's first lesson that I want us to look at is the concept of no pain, no. There you go. See, you already know. I don't have to preach the sermon. No pain, no gain. Do you guys believe that whenever people go to start getting fit, that there's a certain amount of pain that is required in order to gain a healthy life? And that once you've stopped, have you ever noticed that the longer you've stopped, whenever you're getting healthy or whenever you're working out, there's a direct correlation to the amount of pain it's going to take to start again once you've stopped. And so I thought, well, that's probably indicative. That's probably a really good picture about our marriage, about our career. Once you stop healthy habits, once you stop healthy communication, once you stop healthy parenting, the longer that you're in that stop season, the more pain is going to be required in order to start again. And so I wanted to look at a couple of passages this morning, and it's going to be super practical. I'm going to put some tools in your tool chest this morning that you can work on and repair and maybe fix and maybe upgrade different areas of your life. And I wanted us to start off by thinking of a picture. I want you guys to mentally focus with me for just a little bit. I want you to think about where you are this morning and where you want to be, okay? I want you to think about where you are right now, present, and where you would like to be. Now, when it comes to your fitness level, I bet that most people in here, including myself, have a place that you are, and then you have a place that you'd like to be. Whether that, people that like to run 1 mile, sometimes they have a tendency like, oh, I'd like to run two, and then people run two, they like to run three, and then they get up to like crazy marathon level, right? Or the triathlete wants to always beat their best time, or the guy who likes to lift heavy weights, which, you know what, I'd like to, but it's just not in the cards for little Tim, okay? It's just not in the cards. Never gonna bench press 300 pounds. It's not gonna happen. And so people that lift heavy weights, they want to lift a little bit heavier. You know, it could be as simple as you'd like to regain some of your flexibility, right? So in the physical realm, you have a place that you are now, and then you have a place that you would like to be. And I wonder if we took that and we transposed that physical image, and we looked at our relational image. We looked at our marriage, and I bet all of us in here have some places in relationships where you are, and then you have a place that you'd like to be. Like maybe you're not connecting on the level that you would like to connect. Maybe the intimacy isn't what it should be. Maybe the affection shown isn't at an all-time high. Maybe within the parenting realm, there's some struggles, and you don't really know what to do at this level, because at every level, there's new challenges, and you can be really great at 2 years old. You can be really great at 5 years old, and then 13, just kick your butt, right? So this morning, I don't know what it is for you, but you have always this concept of where you are, And then you have the place you'd like to get to. Now, in between every level of growth is pain. If there's no way around. If you are pain avoidant, then you're likely not growing. Because inside of just the marriage relationship, you tell me, is it easy? Is marriage easy? I mean, is anybody in here like you say, you know what, marriage is so simple? I mean, we never disagree, we never fight. It's just always bliss. It's always great. Same thing in job. Is your job always great? Does it never have any challenge? Just wake up every day and you go to work and it's just fun and there's never conflict, right? No, that's not the way that life is. And the closer you get to someone, the more vulnerable you are to pain, to being hurt, because you're exposed. You're exposed to the people that you are closest to. So likely the people that you've had the most difficult conflicts with have been the people that you love the most. So this morning, just inherent in getting to know one another, when the two become one and the two worlds collide, there's going to be a collision. And inside of that collision, along the way, as we grow together, as we work out together, as we get healthy together, there's going to be some necessary pain in order to gain ground. So that's the introduction for this morning's message. I hope that as we go through a couple of passages this morning, you would be challenged to say, where I'm at now, am I looking at the same problems that I was a year ago? Am I looking at the same problems that I was a decade ago? Am I looking at the same problems I was 20 years ago? If you notice a pattern in your life that's not changing, that's not progressing, then you got a problem, right? I mean, you want to be somewhere, but you're not there. And so what happened? What is the barrier that you haven't broken through? What are the ethics that you have to embrace in order to get to that level? And I'm going to give you three ethics to embrace. I'm going to give you two barriers that have to be broken through. And I hope that you'll kind of walk with me through this moment this morning, because I want all of us to be healthy. And I think everybody in here wants to be healthy. So I think we got a mutually win-win sermon this morning. So let's get into it. It says concerning the Israelites, I want to focus on the Israelites that have left Egypt. They've walked on dry ground through a parted Red Sea. Their enemy has been wiped out as God claps the two sides of the walls of the water together upon the Egyptian army that tried to follow after the Israelites. A great aside sermon there is that the people that are in unbelief can't go where the people of belief go. They can't get there, right? You need God to get to the other side. That's a great sermon. I'm not going to preach that one today. And so here they are on the other side of the Red Sea. And now they've been sent into the promised land. And 10 spies saw it one way. 2 spies saw it God's way. And when the 10 spies that saw it through the glass was half empty, a kind of a negative, we can't light, they began to share their report. And then the 2 spies that it was Joshua and Caleb, they steeled the people and they said, no, we can do this. And the passage we're going to read this morning is right after Caleb said, we are more than able. So the voice of God is speaking through Caleb. You are more than able, oh, more than able to conquer this enemy that is before you. You are more than able to walk inside of the promises that I've already ordained for you to walk in. So this is all available to you. And this morning, our passage is going to be the response to the people who wanted to obtain the promise. The people who were willing to go through the pain of the battle, to endure the fight in order to obtain the future. We're going to see their response to that. It says in verse 31, then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel what? A bad or evil or twisted, embellished report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out, that they already said was good, mind you, is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are great height, or of great height. And in the next verse, we don't have time to read it, but it says, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. So they had this, you know, inferiority complex going on. So I want you to see something. So God had them out of bondage, had delivered them into freedom. And now they are standing on the precipice of getting into the promise that God had set aside just for them, that this was the will of God. I want you to go into this. Now, in between the promise and their freedom, sandwiched in between, was a fight. And we're going to see today that they were unwilling to engage in the fight in order to obtain their future. And we're going to find out why in just a moment. So number one, whenever we talk about the barriers that have to be broken through, what emotion would you say they had when they saw their enemies? Would anybody care to venture a guess? Yes. Fear. That is exactly right. Whenever Joshua recounts this story in the book of Joshua, he says that whenever they came up to this moment, that they had fear and their hearts melted. Have you ever had a moment like that where you wanted to go forward? You wanted to press to the next level, but there was a fear. There was an anxiety. There was this thought that the struggle was beyond your strength. Isn't that what they said? They said, we're not able. We're not strong enough. They're bigger than we are. They're faster than we are. Maybe they're smarter than we are. Whatever it is that they saw, somehow their flesh grabbed a hold of their fear, and all of a sudden they believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that they couldn't do it. Man, I want to help you out this morning. Every level has a struggle that you're going to have to endure. It has a faith that you're going to need in order to face your fear. And so this morning I want you to think about that. I'm getting healthy. If you live your life in fear, is that healthy? Would you say that God's best for you is to live in fear of the things around you, the fear of what could be? Have you ever noticed? I had a really interesting, you know, conversation with one of my kids this week who experienced some fear of failure, and I asked him, I was like, of all the things that you've ever been afraid of in your lifetime, how many of those things have ever come to pass? And he had no answer. I mean, think about this. When you were a kid, were you afraid of some monster jumping out of the closet and grabbing you in the middle of the night? You probably were. I mean, everybody had some level of fear, probably. But did that ever happen? No. I mean, I want you to think about all the things that you fret over. And then I want you to think, how many times have those actually come to pass? But what do we do in our minds? In our minds, we allow them to wander into places that our flesh, that is against our spirit, mind you, grabs a hold of those feelings of fear and then pulls us down and says, why don't you just stay at this level because it's safe at this level? But I'm going to tell you that there's a pain associated with gain, but there's also a pain associated with sedimentary, with sitting down and soaking in whatever level that you're at now and refusing to grow. Because anything that refuses to grow, what happens to it? It dies. It dies. It might die a slow death. It might die a decade death. But trust me, whenever it stops growing, it's just a matter of time before it dies. So this morning, if you want to grow, if you want to get healthy, you got to get beyond your fear. And what is the antidote to fear? Faith. Faith. What did Caleb and Joshua have that the 10 other guys didn't have? They had faith. And it wasn't that their strength was greater than the other guys. It was that their faith was greater. It wasn't like they were Hercules. It wasn't like they were Samson. No, but their God was greater than their enemy. And so it's not your strength. See, whenever you're focused on your strength, you're limited. But whenever you're focused on God's strength, He's limitless. So this morning, you could overcome your fear if you would acknowledge and tap into the strength that God has. I don't have time to keep going on this, but I want to. So the second barrier that we have to break through, stacking the deck. Now, I love this one. I love this one. As I was thinking about this, I like cards. I enjoy that. And I was thinking about, does everybody know what stacking the deck means? Anybody? Stacking the deck? Everybody got that? Raise your hands if you understand what that means. Okay. Some of you maybe not know what that means. So like, if I were to sit down and play cards with you, and let's say we're going to play poker, and before we sat down at the hand, I knew we were going to play five-handed, and I arranged the cards, you see, to come out a certain way. And what I would really like to do if I was going to stack the deck is I wouldn't stack it to where you had a bad hand. I would stack it to where you had a good hand, but I had a better hand. And so you would have false confidence in your good hand, and I would defeat you with my better hand. You'd put all your money in on your good hand. And so I would manipulate the outcome. So I have an outcome that I want to obtain, and I'm going to manipulate the circumstances in order to get what I already desired from the beginning. Now watch what the Israelites did. Whenever Joshua and Caleb said, "We can do it," what did they say? They gave a bad report. And then their bad report, they embellished it. They literally said, as we were walking along, the ground would open up and it would swallow the people. Now, did that really happen? No. Where was that at? That was in their mind. But what did they have to do? They had to sell it. Have you ever seen someone that wants to get their way? Have you ever wanted to get your way? Are you willing to massage the details in order to get your way? Stacking the deck. You see, their desired outcome was to not fight. Their desired outcome was to not move forward. Their desired outcome was to stay where they were. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Isn't that a great metaphor for getting healthy? All of us want to move forward, but then we start stacking the deck on why we should stay where we're at. Have you ever heard someone like, "Well, yeah, I want to do this. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get to that. But, you know, there's a couple things, and then there's that, and then there's this, and then there's the kids, and then there's that, and then the job, and then all of a sudden they have all these, they stack the deck. Why they don't have to do it? Why don't, think about that now. If you apply that just to fitness, okay. You know what, Tim, I don't have time to fit in. Okay, great. But how you apply it to your health, what if I take the same analogy and I apply it to your marriage? What if I say, this is where you are, and this is where you want to be, and you tell me all the reasons why you can't get to health in marriage. Like, there'll be people that need counseling all the time, people that need counseling. And you can give them counselor number after counselor number after counselor number. But to actually pick up the phone and dial the number, it must be a monumental task, because so few are willing to get help when they need help. It's akin to a person who's drowning in the ocean, surrounded by life preservers, but saying, "You know what? No, I'm just gonna keep. Why would you do that? If you were drowning in the ocean with life preservers all around you, wouldn't you grab a hold? Wouldn't you grab a hold of one of those?" But people stack the deck as to the reasons why they shouldn't do what they know they should do. Now, that's just unhealthy, right? And so I want you to consider that this morning. Are you stacking the deck to cause yourself to manipulate why you shouldn't move forward in your intimacy? Why you shouldn't move forward in your communication level with your spouse? Apply it spiritually. What are the reasons that hold you back from moving forward with God? What are the reasons why you don't serve? What are the reasons why you don't share with the people around you? What are the reasons why you don't give when it comes to what God has blessed you with? Do you stack the deck as to all the reasons why you don't have time? Or why all the reasons why, oh, it's, you know, the numbers just don't work out. Yeah, they don't work out. Do you think it worked out for the Israelites to go against this enemy? No, it didn't. That's why you got to have faith. Faith allows you to press to the next level. Commitment allows you to press to the next level. So one of the barriers that has to be broken through is that you got to quit stacking the deck. Because whenever you get the outcome that you wanted to obtain from the very beginning, here's what you do. You effectively make all other options obsolete. You see, for the Israelites, there were no other options. There were no other options besides retreat. There was no option in their argument that allowed for them to let God empower them to move forward in victory. Wouldn't life be terrible if you lived it without options? Man, are you one of those people that it can only be the way that you want it to be? Does your form for life have flexibility? Does your form for marriage have flexibility? Does your form inside of your career have any flexibility, because those that lack flexibility, what happens to them? They're going to be broken. Oh man, the Israelites didn't have any flexibility and it cost them their future. Oh, I hope that you would hear that this morning. Well, I got to move on. So there's two barriers that have to be broken through. Now let's talk about three ethics that I want you to embrace. Number one, you have to have a commitment to fight. Now, this is not fighting as in, like, you know, some of you are like, oh, I got that commitment in my marriage. I'm willing to fight in my marriage. That's not the commitment to fight that I'm talking about, okay? The commitment to fight is that that your future is worth the fight. Now, I want you to see something very quickly. When God came and visited the Israelites at this juncture and this whole story began, what condition were they in when he found them, when he went to rescue them? Does anybody remember? Anybody? What? They were slaves, right? They were slaves. So he delivered them out of slavery. In order to be delivered from slavery, what's the word that you have to get? Anybody? 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 Free. You have to be free, right? So God gave them freedom, and now the freedom led to a fight. It led to a fight. So in between your promise and freedom is a fight that you have to engage in. But some people believe that freedom is a hall pass that exempts them from having to give effort. And we don't want to give effort. We feel like, oh, I got my freedom. Well, think about this for a moment. God's grace that he gave us to save us, right? The Apostle Paul, I sent out a newsletter this week. It said that he did not take the grace of God and cheapen it by taking advantage of it. It says that as a result of the grace that was given him, that he worked harder than all the other apostles, because he felt unworthy of the grace that was given him because he had persecuted the church. So it said that the grace that God was willing to give him that he didn't deserve inspired him to exude effort. He didn't feel like because he had been set free from his sin and because God had saved him that he was exempt from effort. As a matter of fact, James the apostle said that anybody that has a faith that doesn't exude effort, that faith is worthless. That faith is pointless. That all faith that is alive should exude effort. So this morning I want you to think about that. Does your faith produce effort? Or are you taking the freedom that if you want to know how to get from here to there, at some point you got to engage in the fight. You got to realize that there's an enemy within, inside your mind, inside your flesh. There's an enemy without. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood only, but we wrestle with principalities, with spiritual darkness in high places. And you're not even aware that the enemy has a game plan to destroy you, because you're just wandering around, not even paying attention to the spiritual things around you. So this morning, I'm just going to tell you, you have to have a commitment to fight in order to obtain your future. That it's not just going to be handed to you on a silver platter. That God expects you to engage in effort in order to move you forward into your future. It says, do your work willingly as though you were serving the Lord himself. I want us to think about not only a commitment to fight, but I want us to think about our motivation. Listen to this. Do your work willingly as though you were serving the Lord himself and not just your earthly master. Now, how many earthly masters do we have? I mean, everybody answers to somebody. And I'm going to tell you, if your motivation is your earthly master, you'll burn out. If your motivation is your earthly master, you'll grow disenchanted. If your motivation is your earthly master, you'll look around at who got what and how you were passed over and how they didn't do this right. But what if this morning our mentality shifted from our earthly master to our heavenly master? What if you started doing it not so that you could get something in the physical, but what if you started doing it so that you could give more in the spiritual? Do you think it would change your motivation at all? Let's talk about your marriage, your relationships with other people. Do you do it so that you might please them? Whatever it is that you're doing, the kind words, the affection, the buying, the whatever, are you doing it so you might please them? But what happens when they don't give something back to you? Does it affect your motivation? Absolutely it does, right? Because you say, well, I'm doing all this, and what are they doing for me? But what if you were doing it because God said to do it? What if you're doing it because you're pleasing God? What if you loved your wife the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and even though she made a lot of mistakes, he loved her in spite of those things, and that love can inspire them to overcome their obstacles as well? Wouldn't that be a greater way to live, to realize that the earthly master is not your motivation? Steve Jobs said this. He said, the only way to do great work is to love what you do. I thought about that, man. I thought about how many people love what they do. Not very many. And I thought, is it the thing that they're doing, or is it the motivation behind it? Flip that into marriage. Man, I wonder, do we ever fall out of love with doing the right things in marriage? Do we ever at some point stop giving our A game on the other side of the threshold? Do we lose our motivation to give our affection, to open the car door, to send a kind note, to pick out something special to wear? Whatever it may be, do we lose our motivation because we're thinking about our earthly master? And I'm going to tell you, it pleases God. God created and loves the institution of marriage and desires vehemently to protect the sanctity of the family. And man, if you were motivated this morning by your heavenly master, it'll keep you from dancing with the devil. It'll keep you from the temptations that want to grab you by their tentacles and pull you down and keep you back from the future that God has prepared for you. So this morning, I want you to know that you have to have the absolute right motivation. And that right motivation, there has to be some connection in the spiritual that this is what God would have us to do. I'm going to wrap up. Let's see here. What time is it? 9:44. Okay, I'm running out of time. Let's get to this last one. This is worth your time, I promise you. In Proverbs chapter 24, let's read this together. The last The ethic that I want you to embrace is that there's a work ethic where vigilance is required for victory. It says that in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30, I passed by a field of the sluggard. Does everybody know what a sluggard is? We don't use that word a lot, right? That's like a lazy person, okay? By the vineyard of one who lacks wisdom. So this is not only a person who's lazy, but what? He's not too bright, okay? And he says, I saw that the thorns had grown up all over it, and that the ground was covered with weeds, and its stone wall was broken down. Everybody in your neighborhood, you got somebody in your neighborhood when you drive by, right? Sometimes it's yours, right? You look at their yard, you look at their house, and you're like, how can they live in that? How can they do? You know, this is that guy. And its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw this, I gave careful consideration to it, and I received instruction from what I saw. Leave that verse right there. I received instruction from what I saw. I want to ask you this question. Number one, are you vigilant about what God is trying to reveal to you? Or do you go through every day, every week, not even considering what God is trying to show you, but you're just so laser focused on what you want, what you're trying to get, that you don't even know that God's trying to demonstrate something to you that's a lesson that he's going to give you today for a struggle you're going to have tomorrow? It says that as he saw this vineyard, it wasn't his vineyard, and he could have just passed by and said, you know what, who cares about that? You should care about that, because inside of their pain, inside of their mistake, could be a lesson for you so that you could avoid having to go through the same. So here he saw this vineyard that was broken down. It says, I gave special consideration to this. He thought, how did this happen? And you know what I've learned? People that advance, people that go higher, are people that are thoughtful and that they are considerate, and they ask questions of why. They ponder problems so that they can be useful in the solving of them. And I'm telling you, if you're a problem solver, you'll never be without a job. If you're a problem creator, you will move from place to place. You'll be moving from marriage to marriage, from friends to friends, if you're a problem maker. But if you're a problem solver, you'll never have to worry about friends. You'll never have to worry about drawing people to you, because everybody wants to be around somebody that's going to help them solve their problems. So here was this man that saw this situation. He said, you know what? There's something to be learned from this. Now watch this. It says, when I saw it, I gave careful consideration to it. I received instruction. This was the instruction. Verse 33, a little sleep, a little slumber, A little folding of the hands. And your poverty will come on you like a bandit, and your need like an armed robber. Now watch this. He felt like a victim, didn't he? You see that? That last verse? Leave the last verse up there. Felt like a victim, right? Poverty came and was like a bandit, was like an armed robber, broke in, took his stuff from him, took his future from him, took his wife from him, took his kids from him. That's the way he felt, right? He felt like a victim. But was his feelings accurate as to the catalyst that created the situation? No, no. What created the situation? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. I'm going to tell you, if you're not willing to guard the gate in your marriage, if you're not willing to guard the gate with your spiritual life, to pour into it, to read your word, to pray, to surround yourself with godly people, if you're not willing to be committed to the fight, if you're not willing to have the motivation that comes from your heavenly master instead of your earthly master, then you are going to be reduced to a little sleep, a little slumber, and you're tempted to say, you know what, I just need some time off. I just need some me time. You don't get me time in marriage. You don't get me time in parenting. I mean, you don't get me time in your career. You got to go out there and fight the good fight because your future is dependent upon your commitment. You say, well, where do I draw the strength to fight that much? Where do you think? Where do you think? Is it not evident at this juncture in the message that that strength comes from within your spirit? When you are connected to him and he's connected to you, he will give you all things that you need to rise up to the next level, to overcome the enemy or the obstacle that is before you. That there is nothing, there is no weapon that is literally formed against us that can prosper whenever we are under the hand of God. So this morning, I put it to you. Is there any area of your life, your spiritual life, your career, or your relationship inside of your family? Is there any area where you'll just be honest and say, you know what, Tim? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And now you feel like that connectedness has been taken from you. What if I told you it's time to wake up from that mentality that nothing was taken from you, that you didn't let happen? That this morning you could get it back if you just wake up, if you just get up. If you'd commit to say, you know what, it's about my heavenly master, not my earthly master. If you start having the right motivation, it'll change your whole mentality about what you should do, what you should say, what you shouldn't say. And the next thing you know, when you start producing fruit that comes from repentance, fruit that comes from a godly life, man, I'm going to tell you, that's when you experience the abundant life.